We're about to begin Shmuel Beis, Perek Aleph. As we mentioned last week, Chazal count Shmuel as one sefer, one of the 24 Sifrei HaKodesh, one of the 24 books. The printer, for convenience, divided up into two parts. Shmuel Aleph, which is during the lifetime of Shaul, and Shmuel Beis, which is after the lifetime of Shaul, which is now we're going to deal with David HaMelech. But it's really one sefer, and it's connected. And we'll begin Shmuel Beis Perek Aleph. Vayi achrei Moshe Shaul. It was after the death of Shaul. V'David shov mehakoses ha'amolek. And David returned from striking Amalek. Shaul just had the defeat. Shaul was killed. The army was routed. At Shaul's low point, at the end of Shaul's life, at his demise, David's star was rising. Shaka Shimsho Shel Shaul, at the time that Shaul's son set, Zorach Shimsho Shel David. David's sun was shining. David was successful with his 400 men defeating Amalek. David had been with the Plishtim, and the Plishtim refused to let David come to war with them. And they sent David away, and he went to the city Tziklag, and he saw that his family and the families of all of his men had been taken away in captivity. David pursued them and caught up with Amalek, struck them a blow, and rescued all of the people. Nobody had been hurt, nobody had been killed. And he returned victorious, with not only saving all the families of his men, but even he came back with spoils of everything that the Amalek had looted from the other nations and other communities they had attacked. So David returned from striking Amalek. At this time, Shaul and Perek Lamed Aleph had fought against the Plishtim and had been killed. What we're going to see today is the way the account is reported by the Novi in Perek Lamed Aleph is not the way it's reported again today in Perek Aleph. Over there it mentioned the battle was very heavy against Shaul. Vayimtzeu hamorim anoshim bakoshes, and the archers found him, and Shaul was very afraid of the archers. And Shaul said to his weapons carrier to draw the sword and stab him, pen yavo ha'arelim ha'ele u'dekaruni, lest the goyim come and they'll stab Shaul, v'saluvi, and they'll disgrace him. It would have been terrible yisurim. It would also have been a chil Hashem that the goyim finally got their hands on the Mashiach Hashem, Shaul, who had been anointed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as king through Shmuel. So Shaul asked the Noisei Kalim to kill him before the goyim should get a hold of him. Below Ova Noisei Kalim, the Noisei Kalim, the weapons carrier, didn't want to do that. And indeed, according to Halacha, we learned, this is discussed last week, that Shaul had a right to kill, to end his life early. He was going to die anyways. He had been caught. He was in his death throes. And it would have been a chil Hashem, and it would have been Yisurim for him to remain alive. But there was no heter for anyone else to do it. And v'lo avanos Caleb, the weapons carrier, didn't want to do it. Ki yori miyodi, was very afraid. V'yikach Shaul, as acherev Shaul, took the sword. V'yipol aleo, and he fell on the sword. So it seems to be there was only two people there. There was Shaul and the Noisei Kalim and the weapons carrier. I mean, there was a whole army, but in terms of Shaul's death, it involved these two people. And then the Noisei Kalim saw that Shaul died, so he also fell on his sword, and the Noisei Kalim died. We're going to see today that somebody from Amalek and Amaleki, or later on he's called the Ben Ishger Amaleki, the son of an Amaleki convert, a ger, he came, and he's going to tell David that he actually killed Shaul. But vayihi achrei mos shol, it was after the death of Shol, v'david shov mihakoses ha'amolek, David returned from striking Amalek, v'yeshev David b'tziklag yomim shnoyim, and David lived, resided in the city Tziklag for 2 days. He had 2 minutes of 2 days of a respite until the rest of the story evolves. V'yehi b'yom ha'shlishi, it was on the third day, v'nei ish bo min ha'machane, a man came from the camp, me'im shol, from Shol. Uvagadov kruim, his clothing was torn, v'adom al rosho, and there was dirt on his head. It seems to be he came from the battlefront. Could be he was rolling in the mud. Perhaps he put the dirt on his head as a sign of mourning. He tore his clothing. He had terrible news. Vayi bevo al David. It was when he came to David. Vayi pol artza. He fell to the ground, prostrated himself. Vayishtochu, when he bowed. And again, the question is, we'll see. He takes the blame or the credit. He thought initially, perhaps, that it was good news. He says he killed Shol. We did not see that in the previous perek. It could be he didn't kill Shol, just he knew that Shol was David's enemy, and David would possibly even give him a reward. We'll learn in Perek Dalet, there was another incident where Shol's son, Ish-bosheth, was killed, and they brought the head to David, and David was very upset that here people were committing murder, and it looked like David was behind it. They thought David would approve. And there in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud, it says, Ki hamagid li lemor, the one who tells me saying, Hine mei Shol, that Shol died, and he thought he was bringing good news. I seized him, and I killed him in Tziklag, that I didn't want to give him, I certainly wasn't going to give him a present. But it seems that people felt that if they killed Shol, or they killed Shol's son, David would approve. So it could be he did not kill Shol. The story is like we learned in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph. He didn't kill Shol, just he wants to take the credit because he thinks he'll receive a reward. Or could be he really did kill him, and over there it just doesn't tell you all the details. It says Shol took the sword, Vayipolo, and he fell on it. And you're right, you have to put in that the death was finished by this other person. Who was this Ish that came from the camp? Rashi says it was Doeg, the famous Doeg Ha'adomi, the one who had slandered David and spoken against him to Shaul, the one who had been responsible for Novi Irakoanim. But Rashi says, Einu Miyushav Alibi. It's hard to understand. It doesn't sit right. Because we'll see. Shaul asked him who he was. David asked him who he was. They called him a Nar, a lad. If it was really Doeg, the Rosh HaSanhedrin, he would not have been called a Nar, and they would have known who he was. So, the Medrash Tanchuma, in the Parshas Kiseitse, says it was the son of Doeg Ha'adomi. If that would be the case, it would be understandable, for he wasn't always with his father. Could be Shol didn't know who he was, David didn't know who he was, he is a Nar, but he's connected with Doeg Ha'adomi. Could be it was his son. So it could be Doeg Ha'adomi is related to this descendant from Amalek. But on the third day, he came. He said he was coming from the camp from Shol with his clothing torn, and he reported about the defeat in the battle. Now, we're going to see, he reported that he was the one who killed Shol. He's the one who killed Shol. And the Radak mentions, this is the Radak in the last Perek, when it first mentions that Shol fell on his sword and he died. The Radak in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Hey, asks this as a question. And he says, you know, V'efshir ki kozav ha'amaleki. He makes that point. Could be that Amaleki was lying, Chilo Hemisahu, because it seems to be that he didn't kill Shaul, Elamitzo Meis, Achashanofal Al Charbo. It would seem to be, from what we know till now, Shaul caused his own death. He fell on the sword. It could be somebody else came, this Isha Molik that we're learning about right now, came and he saw that Shaul was dead. So he figured, here's an opportunity to come back to David and say that he killed Shaul because he's thinking David will be happy. In fact, later on, David, there was another incident with Ish-Bosheth. That was the son of Shaul who took over the throne, and he was killed. And the people came to tell David the good news that Ish-Bosheth was killed. And at that point, David said, he was very upset that Ish-Bosheth was killed. And he said, in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud, Ki Hamagi Li Lamer, the one who told me saying, he named me Shaul, that Shaul died, V'hu Ayokim Avasir Be'enov. He came to me and he told me as if he's bringing me good news. V'ochazabo, I grabbed hold of him, V'ehergeyu B'tziklog, and I killed him in Tziklog. Ashul Asikti Lo B'sora, certainly not to give him a present. But it seems to be that people came to David, and this was something, it's one of the most difficult things in life, where something is done against your will and the people think that it's going to find favor. People came to David and they did things that they thought David would be happy with, and everyone, in the meantime, David felt terrible and he never wanted such things to occur. So it could be this person is lying and he never killed Shaul, but he just came and he told David because he was hoping to get a reward. He killed the enemy of David. On the other hand, it's not clear, because he did come with his clothing were torn, there was dirt on his head. It seemed to be either he put it on as a sign of mourning and as a sign of the calamity, or maybe he was actually on the battlefield and he was rolling in the dirt or whatever, and he showed up that way. But it doesn't seem like, you know, he just came afterwards and he saw Shaul was dead and he came with the good news. It seems to be that he was upset. So the question exactly, did he kill Shaul, or was he just reporting on what happened? It could be, if it was Doeg Ko'adomi, he had caused Shaul to kill Novi Irakoanim. And now that he realized Shaul was dead, and Shaul was killed because of the Avera of destroying Novi Irakoanim, and he was to blame, now it's like he's playing it smart politically. So he runs to David to bring him the news that Shaul was killed, and he's hoping to get on David's good side with what's called chanifus. This is flattery at its most. In other words, he was the enemy of David. Now he's coming as if he's on David's side, and that Shaul was killed. Vayomer lo David. David said to him, Evi Zetovo, where are you coming from? Vayomer Elov, and he said to me, Machne Yisrael Nimlotti. I escaped from the Machne Yisrael, from the Jewish camp, which would seem that he was part of the army that was defeated. Even though, in Pasuk Vov, we'll see it in a moment, he seems to say, Nikro Nikresi Bar HaGilboa. I happened to be on the mountain where Shaul was. So again, it's not clear, was he actually part of the army? Maybe he was in a different part of the army, and then he happened to come over to where Shaul was. But exactly what he was doing there is not clear. But he says he came from the Machane Yisrael, he escaped. Vayomrei lov David, so David said to him, Mehoya adover, what exactly occurred? Hagenoli, tell me. Vayomer, so he said, Asher nosa am min hamelchoma. The people fled from the battle. V'gam harbe nofa min ha'om. Many people fell from the people. Many of the people fell in battle. V'yamusu, and they died. V'gam shol v'yohonasan b'nomesu, and also Shaul and his son Yehonasan died. Could be it's simply the sequence of events. The first problem was the people fled, which we discussed before. Running away from the battlefront is the first step in defeat. The people fled. The next thing was, once they were fleeing, they were killed. V'gam harbe nofa min ha'om. Now Shaul and Yonasan stood where they were. They didn't go, they didn't flee. They say they were fighting. But the next step was they were killed. It could be also he's giving him the report by starting off with sort of preparing him for the bad news. As the Ralbag says, he says, a mushal, if somebody's lo aleinu, if a person is close to dies, and the person isn't aware that he was sick, it's a much greater da'aga, he worries, he takes it to heart much more than if he knew that he was sick. So first, he like breaks it in that the person was sick, and then he died, the person sort of prepared for the news. First the people fled. So David is already aware if the people fled, obviously there's not a good outcome. Then he mentioned the people were killed, they didn't escape, but that's already not such a shock. If they fled, it could be understood that they were killed. And then he mentioned Shaul and Yonasan died, and he mentioned Shaul first because Shaul was the king. The truth is Shaul's three sons died. Yonasan wasn't the only one. But Yonasan was the most exceptional. That was the one that was closest to David, the one who loved David as himself. And Yonasan was the one who was together with Shaul. The other sons were also at the battlefield, but Yonasan was the son who was Shaul's main son, who would have been the one to take over the Malchus if it would had it remained by Shaul. But Yomer David. So David said, El Hanar Hamagilo, to the Nar who was telling him this report. Eich Yodata, how did you know Kimei Shaul V'Yonasan Beno? How did you know that Shaul and Yonasan died? David wants to know the details, because we'll see that even though there are no witnesses, and under ordinary circumstances a person wouldn't be killed by bringing in a report, if a guy shows up in court one day and he says he killed somebody, Bezdin won't give him the death sentence. There has to be witnesses, there has to be a warning, there's a protocol. But by a king, and certainly a Rasha, and if the times demand it, there are certain exceptions he can make to the normal judicial process. And we'll see that David is going to have him killed. So David wants to know all the details. How do you know Kimei Shaul V'Yonasan Beno? How do you know that Shaul and Yonasan died? Could be he was suspicious that he was the one who did it. Vayomer Hanar Hamagidlo. So the Nar who brought the report told him, Nigro Nigresi Bahara Gilboa. I happened to be on the mountain of Gilboa, which is where the war was. I happened to be there. Vinei Shaul Nishan Al Chaniso. And Shaul was leaning on his spear. Now Shaul had fallen on his sword. Could be he fell on his sword and he was still alive. But he was like leaning on his spear. He couldn't move and he was sort of immobilized, but he was leaning on his spear because he was about to die. He had fallen on the sword. Or could be the spear here is synonymous with the sword. That means he fell on his weapons. Leaning on his spear means he had fallen on it. Vinei ha-rechev uvalei ha-paroshim hidbiku. And the chariots and the cavalry, those who ride the horses, Hidbiku had attached themselves to Shaul. They found him. They were about to get him. Again, we learned before, it was the people who were the archers, those who shot with bows and arrows. Here he reports it was the Rechav and Bali Parashim. So it's not clear, is he making up the story or was he actually there? Vayifan Acharov. So Shaul turned to his back. Vayirani, and he saw me. Vayikrelai, and he called to me. Vomar Hinani, and I said, here I am. Vayomerli, Shaul said to me, Mi Ota, who are you? Vomari Lov, and I said to him, Amaleki Onochi, I'm an Amalek. I'm from Amalek. It's almost, you can imagine Shaul hearing that, assuming this is true. He told him, Shaul's whole mitzvah was to wipe out Amalek, and he didn't do the job, and now he sees clearly Amalek is here. And Shaul actually is going to ask to be killed. But Shaul had a misplaced Rachmanis. Shaul felt, how can you go ahead and wipe out the whole Amalek? And he had Rachmanis, and therefore he didn't. Now, at the moment, he's going to have to ask Rachmanus. It's going to be the Amalek who's going to kill him because of Rachmanus. It's just like a mita keneged mita. He didn't kill Amalek because of Rachmanus. Now he's going to have to ask Amalek to kill him because he's about to die and he's afraid that he's going to be abused by the Plishtim. V'omer lo, I said to him, Amaleki Anochi, I'm from an Amaleki. And at this point it would seem he's a goy. We'll see shortly, he says he's from a Ger Amaleki. Amaleki who was Megayer of us, who was a Yid. Vayomer Eli, Shaul said to me, Abad no Eli, stand now by me, stand on me, Umosaseini. And Shaul asked that this Amaleki should kill him. And that term Mosaseini means to finish off the last, finish off the death. We had before in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Dalid, over there Yonasan and his weapons carrier had led an attack against the Plishtim. Shaul was with the army, and they had led an attack. And it said over there that Yonasan went ahead, and he struck down the enemy, and then the Nosekelim, the weapons carrier, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, back in Perek Yud Dalet, it said, V'nosei v'yiblu lifnei Yonasan, the Plishtim fell in front of Yonasan, V'nosei Caleb mimosei Sacharov. His weapons carrier was finishing up, finally killing them in back of Yonasan. See, also, Moses is saying, in other words, just finish up, Shaul is saying, finish up that he should be killed. Ki achazani hashavot. Because I've been seized by Shavuot. Poshupsha means he has the throes of death. He's about to die. Ticholo nafshi bi, but there's still a little bit of life in me. He's saying I'm still alive and I'm suffering, but it's inevitable that he's in the last moments before death. And therefore he asks that he should be killed and he should be put out of his misery, which we discussed in the previous year, exactly the heterim, he was going to die anyways, and he was suffering Yisurim, and he was afraid of Chil Hashem. There would have been a right for Shaul to kill himself, and whatever his situation, but there's no heter for anybody else to do it. Nobody else has the heter to do it. But Shaul asked him, Ki achazani hashavat, I've been seized by these final death throes, and I'm still alive, and he asked Amalek to kill him. Ki chol od nafshi bi, my life is still in me. There's a number of other pshat in what it means, hashavot. We know, for instance, by the big day kahuna, it says, Vasis uchsones tashbeit, mitznefes v'avnei, one of the clothing of the Kohen was tashbeit. It was made, I see they translate it like a box-like knit. But it could be it was tightly woven, and when he fell on his sword, somehow the padding was so thick and the threads, the fibers were so close together, the sword didn't go through. So he fell on his sword and somehow it hurt him, but it didn't really penetrate properly. Some of Forshim learned like that. Kiyo chazani ashovot. And therefore he asked the Amaleki to finish it up. Rashi brings down a medrash. Again, Tashbeit is a reference to the Kohanim. Ki achozani hashavot. Because of the aveir of the Kohanim, mishum avon ha-Kohanim shaharog, because he killed the Kohanim, v'chosu behem k'sonesh Tashbeit. In other words, Shaul, at his last moments of life, he was so aware of the fact what this aveir was. It was like he used his last strength to tell this Amaleki. It's almost like a form of vidui or tshuva, as he's saying, ki achozani hashavot, I'm getting the punishment for killing Novi or Akohanim. And I'm still alive, and therefore he asked that his life should be ended. According to the pshat that it was Doeg, it would seem, in other words, over there Doeg, Shaul had said, there's nobody who's telling me where David is, nobody's helping me out, David is escaping, and I know he's after my life, and nobody lets me know what's happening with David. And Doeg appears as the good friend, and Doeg tells him, yeah, he came to Novi Rakonim, And like Doeg is the one person who cares about Shaul to report on David. And it would come out that now the good friend Doeg is the one who's the one who killed Shaul. V'emorolov, I stood by Shaul v'amosaseyu, and I killed him. Ki odati, because I knew ki lo yichi acharei niflo. I knew that he wouldn't live after he fell. V'ekach anezer asher al rosho, I took the crown that was on his head, v'etzod asher al zero, and the bracelet that was on his arm, v'aviyem el adoni heino, and I brought it to my master here. So obviously what he's saying has some truth to it, in other words, he's showing up with the king's crown and with the bracelet. So David knows that obviously he was there. It's not clear if he actually killed Shaul, but he said he killed Shaul, and there's what's called Raglayim Ledovar. There's a strong basis for that. He has the king's crown and he said he killed the king. It can be assumed that's true. Now Pushit, he thought that David would be happy to hear that his arch enemy Shaul was killed, and he brought the crown and the bracelet. It's as Hanifus, like to flatter David, and others to see that he's on David's side. Or he killed Shaul, and he brought all the treasure, and he brought it back to David. Hashem wanted, the Mephoshim say, that David received the crown and David received the bracelet, but he received the king's crown from an Amaleki. Now as it comes out that it's almost like a remembrance, whenever David thinks of who gave him the crown, who gave him the royal crown, he was given the royal crown from Amalek. It's like an eternal remembrance that because Shaul didn't kill Amalek, Shaul lost the throne, and Amalek is the one who brought the crown to David. And we see the difference between the Nosei Kalim of Shaul, the weapons carrier of Shaul. Shaul asked his weapons carrier to kill him, and the weapons carrier recoiled. How could he do such a thing? How could I strike the Mashiach Hashem? He couldn't do it. And here, this Ger Amalek, he did do it. He was from Amalek, and he was happy to oblige. So he's the one who killed Shaul. Now, if somebody kills a goseis bidei adam, meaning if somebody is mortally wounded, the Gemara has a case, for instance, if 10 people gang up on an individual, and the 10 people are beating him, and eventually the person dies. So the truth is, none of them would get the death sentence. If they all eat, because the last blow before his death was done to a goseis bidei adam. In other words, this person was going to die from the beatings. In other words, he would have died from the earlier blows. But what actually killed him was that last blow. But when the last blow was done, he was already a man who couldn't live. And if it was bidei adam, in other words, this is not true if the person is naturally a goseis. In other words, if a person's critically ill, that has the same din of ritzich, of murder, like with anyone else. But if he's a goseis bidei adam, meaning if he was humanly inflicted and suffering, he was wounded, and he's about to die, the one who kills him is not chayiv misa. He's not allowed to do it, but he's not chayiv misa. So, v'emor olav v'amosaseyu. So when he stood up and he killed, even if it was true that he killed Shaul, for that, he wouldn't be chayiv, the death sentence. He wouldn't receive death. And again, the Mephoshim point out, could be the whole thing is not true, because in Dikduk, the Me'am Lois makes the point, vo'emod olov, and I stood on Shaul, it should have said, vo'amosaseyu, and I killed him. And if you see clearly, they put an asterisk by the letter referring that it's a vav pesucha, it's va'amosaseyu. The word is written differently, as if to say it's not the way it would seem to be. It's written with a shinui, there's something different here. Could be he never did it. Could be he didn't kill Shaul. Rashi also brings down from the Targum. It could be the push-up shot, I don't know if the king wore his crown when he went out to battle. But the Mefarshim learned, Vo'ekach HaNezer Asher HaRosho, I took the crown on his head, meaning he took the tefillin. He took the tefillin off of Shaul's head. When it says the Goyim will see that the name of Hashem is on you, and the Goyim will have a fear, Chazal say that's referring to the tefillin on a man's head. That if a person wears tefillin, the way it should be done, a Goy naturally looking at him would have a terror and would run away. This is Mises with the Gedolim and Tzadikim. You have the person saw him, with the tefillin, the animals or the people ran away. There's a fear of the person wearing the tefillin like that. But it could be he was wearing the tefillin shel roish. That's Oda Azel Zero. The bracelet on his hand means the ornament, the tachshit, the taitofis that were on his hand, the tefillin that was on his hand. So he took off the tefillin from Shaul and he brought it to David. Vayachazek David bivagodov. Vayachazek David bivagodov. David took hold of his clothing, vayikroim, and he tore them. Vegam kolan Oshim Asherito, and all the people with David, likewise, they all raised Korea, they all tore their garments as a sign of mourning. Now you can imagine this person bringing this Amaleki, who brought the news, was thinking he's going to get a present. He killed David's archenemy. And instead he brings the news, and everyone tears their clothing as a sign of mourning. The ksiv, the way the word is written, is like the vigdo. He held on to his garment. Because the truth is, only one garment needs to be torn. But it's bivagodov, the kriyas, he tore his clothing, his garments, in the plural, that he tore all of his clothing. It was as an extreme sign of mourning, and all the other people with him. Even though we had learned in Shmuel Aleph, there were many times when they had Shaul trapped and captured. They had him in the cave, and they had him when he was sleeping in the camp, and they took his spear in the water. And there were different times when his men said to kill David, to kill Shaul. Now all of a sudden, when they heard that Shaul died, they also tore their garments as a kriya. It was obviously they understood that they were great people, those who were with David, and at that point, they paskin that Shaul is chayiv misa. Shaul is a rodef. He's chasing after David wrongfully, and he's out to kill David for no reason, and a rodef is chayiv misa. And therefore, David should kill Shaul to save his own life. But there was never a question that Shaul himself was the Mashiach Hashem. He was the one Hashem told Shmuel to anoint Shaul as a king. And the fact that he was killed is a national tragedy. So even though at certain points they felt it was permissible to kill Shaul, but now that they hear that Shaul was killed, they tore their garments. Vayispidu, and they said hespedim. Vayivku, and they cried. They said eulogies and they cried. And normally, after when a person dies, the first 3 days are for crying, and then afterwards, gradually, very gradually, the pain subsides and the time for crying is over, and then it's in general hespedim, speaking about the nifter. Over here, they first heard about it on the third day. David was in Siklag for 3 days when he got this report. So, vayispedu was really a time of hespedim, but then vayivko as a secondary, the main period of crying was over. But they said hespedim, and then they cried. Vayatsumu ad ha'arev, and they fasted till night, because they took this as a sign they have to do tshuva. That Shaul, the king, the Melech Yisrael, the Mashiach Hashem, Shaul was killed, and Klaius was defeated. They fasted till night. Al Shaul for Shaul. Val Yehonasan Benoen for his son Yehonasan. Val Am Hashem, and for the people of Hashem. Val Beis Yisrael in the house of Klal Yisrael, kinoflu bechorev, because they fell by the sword. The Gemara in Moed Katan learns out from here, in Daf Chof Beis, learns out the dinim of Kriya, that each one of these causes would be a reason to tear the clothing. Al Shaul for Shaul, Shaul is the Nasi. He was the Nasi of Klal Yisrael, the leader of Klal Yisrael. Yehoshua's son is the Av Bezdin. The Radak brings it down. He was the leader of the Sanhedrin. And for Klal Yisrael, while Am Hashem, while Beis Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael fell. And the Gemara learns out that it was like Roiv Tzibur. So it's hard to know how many, in other words, like Roiv of the Tzibur were killed. But it's such a terrible blow for Klal Yisrael, it's necessary to rise Kriya. And it's each one by itself is a reason. It could have said Al Shol v'Yehonasan v'Am Hashem, but it's broken up. Al Shol for Shol. That's one tragedy. Val Yehonasan v'No is a separate cause. Val Am Hashem is a third reason, and Beis Yisrael is it's listed. It's the same idea as Am Hashem, but one thing is Klal Yisrael. We're Hashem's people. For the loss of Kvod Shemayim, the fact that we are connected to Hashem, the Am Hashem suffered a loss, that's the reason to mourn. And the one is Beis Yisrael, the fact that we're all one household, we're all Beis Yisrael. It's two different aspects of our connection with Klal Yisrael. Kinoflu b'charev, that they fell by the sword. And it seems to imply that David didn't command them to rise Kriya, he didn't command them to do a hesped. Just on their own, they understood that it's a time for crying and for saying hespedah, meaning to reflect and take on what the loss was, how great they were, and what the meaning will be for Klal Yisrael. The hesped for Yehonasan would be that he was such a... It could be the fact that Shol, first of all, was David's father-in-law. There's a special cover that's given to a father-in-law, even if it's a father-in-law who's after David's life. But that's Shol. Yehonasan was also that close, close friend with David, who loved David like his own life. Kinoflu b'charev, because they fell by the sword. By Yomer David. David said, El Hanar Hamagilo, to the Nar who told this to him. Amy Zahata, where are you from? By Yomri said, Ben Ish Ger Amaleki Anochi, I'm the son of a man who's a Ger Amaleki, a Ger from Amalek. That's where I'm from. The Radak says, he had already said he was Amaleki Anochi. I'm from Amalek. The question was exactly from which area of Amalek. I guess there was a part of Amalek that had captured Siklag, or the Amalek were in different areas. He wanted to know more details and exactly where are you from in Amalek. Or it could be we even had before, when David was trying to find out what happened to the families from Siklag, he found over there, there was a Nar Mitzri, there was somebody who was a Mitzri, and he was an Eved to Amalek. So sometimes it can be from Amalek and yet have a connection with another nationality. Maybe he was a slave to some other nationality. Vayomer elov David. So David said to him, Eich lo yoreisa, how is it that you weren't afraid lishloach yodcha, to send out your hand l'shachis as Mashiach Hashem, to destroy the Mashiach Hashem? Or you're an ish ger amaleki, you're the son of a person who's a ger amaleki. So if you're a ger and you join Klal Yisrael, how is it that you didn't have the feeling to destroy the Mashiach Hashem? Vayikra David. So David called la'achad mehana'orim, to one of the na'orim. Vayomer, and he said, Gash, come here, pagabo, and strike him. Vayakeyu vayomos, and he struck this nar by Yomos, and he died. This was a Horasha. The Pashut meaning is that this was a special emergency measure, because the Nara Maleki had killed Shol and came to tell David. David had to make it very clear that it was wrong and he didn't support it and he didn't back it and he doesn't like it. Because afterwards, you can imagine there might be reprisals against Shaul's whole family. Or Shaul is dead. David's now going to be acknowledged as the king. And it could be there'll be a backlash, and all the supporters of Shaul might be killed and might be attacked. So David had to take a strong stand to show that Shaul should, nothing should have been done to Shaul, and Shaul is the Mashiach Hashem, and whatever happened was from Hashem, and he is against any reprisals against Shaul and his family. And we'll see later on, there was a problem again with Shaul's son Ish-Boshesh, that he was killed, and the people came to David, assuming that David would approve. Chazal say that the same way David was mispalel that he shouldn't fall in the hands of Shaul, he was mispalel that Shaul shouldn't fall into his hand. Because what could he do with Shaul? And Shaul was convinced that David is chayev misa, and David didn't want to have anything to do with Shaul's death, and he was hoping that it would happen without his involvement at all. Now, according to the opinion that the Nar lied, in other words, there was a discussion, did he really kill Shaul or not? Because in Perek Lamed Aleph, it seems to say that Shaul killed himself and there was nobody else involved. But it could be, what happened was, he was lying, and he came with the story that he killed Shaul because he thought David would be happy. And now, it could be he's trying to back out of it and change his stories. His story, in fact, David says, Vayomrei lov David, David said to him, Dom chal roshecha, your blood is on your own head. Kificha ana b'chal lema, because your mouth spoke up against you saying, Anochi mosati es Mashiach Hashem, that I killed the anointed of Hashem. In other words, it's true, maybe you didn't even do it. But you initially came and you said that you killed Shaul. And now you can't even change the story. As you said it, and therefore you're responsible, Dom chal roshecha. Your blood is on your head. And it could be, Dom chal roshecha, it's referring to the fact, it's written with an extra yud there, domecha, as if to say, your blood's on your head. If this was doeg, could be what David is saying is, you're not just responsible for the blood of Shaul, but you're responsible for the whole Novi Arkonim, that whole city that was wiped out. There's many bloods that you're responsible for. The Gemara says in Baba Kama on Daf Tzadi Beis, if somebody says, Chavoldi, you know, sometimes with the kids, the guy would say, punch me. Chavoldi, you know, hurt me. And he does it. So the Gemara says, Yechayev. Reuven says to Shimon, go ahead and punch me. So if Shimon does it, he's chayev for punching me. He didn't say it because even if he said to do it, doesn't mean he gets away free. You know, he said to punch me, so he punched me, but now he's responsible for that. And certainly over here by Misa, if Shaul said to the Nar to kill him, but that doesn't give him the right to do it, and still considered a murder. Divrei Harav, Divrei Atama, Divrei Mishomim. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're not allowed to kill Shaul, you're not allowed to kill this person. See, even if the person requests it, it's not allowed. Now, according to the strict law, he shouldn't have been chayiv misa. Because we learned, first of all, there were no other witnesses. He came in himself and he reported what he did. So there's no witnesses. And he wasn't warned. And Shaul himself was already, even if you were to accept what he said is true, but Shaul was a treifin, and Shaul couldn't have lived. He was mortally wounded. So it wasn't Ritzicha on that account either. But it could be, some of the Mephoshim say, he was a Ben Ish Ger Amalek, he was a Ger from Amalek. And we don't accept Gerim from Amalek. So even though he might have accepted the Torah and Mitzvahs, he didn't have the status of a Yid. And by a Ben Noach, if a Goy commits murder, he's held responsible even without these exemptions. Or even if a relative were to testify that he was the one who did it. And therefore, he was killed over here. Could be if he was really from Amalek, it was all under the mitzvah of wiping out Amalek. But here there is a basis to say that it really happened. As we've mentioned, he came bringing the crown. And the fact that he's from Amalek and he said he killed Shaul, and Amalek had a special... had a special hatred for Shaul. Shaul had decimated them. It was believable, and therefore Hora Asha and David had him killed. Vayikonein David. And David said a kina, he said a eulogy. Esakina zos, this eulogy, this elegy, this lamentation, al shol val Yehonasan b'no, about Shoal and about Yonasan b'no. After the crying, after the spadim, he said a special kina. A kina is the type of thing similar, it's the opposite, but the idea of like a shira, like if somebody has something very happy and something exciting that happens in his life, and he breaks forth in a song to somehow capture his emotions, a kina is the same way in a sad manner. That this kina, this elegy, is to give expression to the emotions he has on the death of Shoal and Yonasan. And again, he wanted to show that he stresses again and again the fact that he did not want Shoal's death, and he's very upset, and the one who killed Shoal is not at all with his approval. And we see the midas of David, that he actually felt the loss so strongly. You know, it's different in many ways, but it always strikes me, they say in the World War II, a number of individuals, what they were like macabre on themselves, the way they changed their life, they heard that Klal Yisrael was suffering, and then the Holocaust, they heard what was going on. They say the stifler used to smoke. And when he heard that the Yidden were being killed in Europe, he gave up smoking. He said, how can he sit there and enjoy a cigarette with a... How can he sit there and enjoy the cigarette when the Yidden are being killed? And there was, they say, about Rebbetzin Cutler, Rav Aaron Cutler's wife. She used to enjoy a tea with, she used to enjoy a sugar cube with her tea. When she heard what was going on, for years, until the end of the war, she drank her tea without sugar. And she did something to show that, you know, she felt the pain of Klal Yisrael. It's different, but the idea of feeling the pain of Klal Yisrael, and the fact that David said this kina because he felt the tremendous loss. So he spent the whole day fasting and crying and eulogizing and rising kriya. It's because he felt that loss. He felt it on the emotional level. Not just that he was, of course, not happy that his life was spared, but it's. Or even like neutral. And I might say, well, okay, he was a great person, but on the other hand, I gained from it or whatever. But no, it was a totally sad event, and something that David was upset about. There are three times in Tanakh where it says Vayakonein, that somebody said a kina, he said a eulogy, an elegy. Here you have Vayakonein. Over the death of Avner, it says Vayakonein. In both times it's written without a vav. By Yekonein, there would have been a vav after the kuf. But it's missing. It's not a complete lamentation, because things are not totally black. Klal Yisrael is going to have tremendous success in the days of David. So the kina's not a complete kina. The third time where it says the kina is where Yirmiyahu HaNavi said a kina on the death of Yoshio. And over there, that was on the road toward the Churban. Eventually the first Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. That kin is written with a vav, because that was a complete loss. But Vayomer, and David said in this kina, L'lamed B'nei Yehuda Koshes, to teach B'nei Yehuda how to fight with a bow and arrow. In Eksuva al Sefer HaYoshar, it's written in the Sefer HaYoshar. One pshat that the Metzudas David mentions is that this is not yet the kina. This is sort of like an introduction. That before mourning over the loss of Shoal and Klal Yisrael, David wanted to strengthen their hearts. That they shouldn't give up. That the Plishtim won the war. But David is saying, don't worry, all's not lost. L'lamei the B'nei Yehuda Koshes, we can teach the B'nei Yehuda how to fight with a bow and arrow. He makes Suba Sefer Yoshar, and it's written in the Torah that Klal Yisrael will overcome their enemies. Yorcha b'oref oivecha, your hands will be against the oref, the back of the neck of your enemies. Rashi seems to learn the pshat is Rashi on this pasuk, Yorcha b'oref oivecha, that when shooting a bow and arrow, as by a sword, the sword is held at the waist height. Or lower, as it's held down. A bow and arrow is lifted up high opposite a person's forehead. So the person shooting by his oref, the back of his neck, the bow and arrow is held at that height. Yarcha ba'oref ayvecha, your hand will strike the enemy from the height of an oref, meaning shooting a bow and arrow. So it's predicted in the Torah that Klal Yisrael will be able to overcome their enemies. Lamed b'nei Yehuda kashas, and therefore you shouldn't give up, there shouldn't be a yush, all's not lost. And now he'll go into the kingdom. But Klal Yisrael should take courage that things will be better. Kubi is also mentioning b'nei Yehuda, because Yehuda in the Torah, Yehuda is the one who stuck up for Binyamin. When Yosef took Binyamin, back in Parshas Miketz and Vayigash, Yehuda is the one who said, Vayigash, I love Yehuda. Yehuda took up the cause and he defended Binyamin. Now Shaul, who was from Binyamin, had been killed. Lelamid b'nei Yehuda koshas. But Lamaisu, we're all brothers, and the b'nei Yehuda should learn how to fight with a bow and arrow and take up the cause and defend the family of Shaul and Shevet Binyamin and defend them all against the Plishtim. There's a number of different pshatim on Hinek Suvo al Sefer HaYosher. What does it mean it's written in the Sefer HaYosher? Pashat Sefer HaYosher means the Torah. It's predicted in the Torah. As we mentioned, it says in Sefer Bereishis, Yorcha Borif Oivecha, that Yehuda will be able to defeat the enemies. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yodav Rav Loi Ve'ezim Yitzar of Tiyah, and V'zos HaBracha, that Yehuda's hands will fight for him. The Yerushalmi in Soita, Parak Aleph Halacha Yud, says that when the Tzadikim are Nifter, it's a dangerous time for Klal Yisrael. That's when the enemies are able to gain the upper hand. Like you find in Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov Avinu was Nifter, and right after that the Shibud of Mitzrayim began. Or in Parshas Bamidbar, it says Aaron was Nifter, a different pshat in the Yerushalmi, and then the Kanani Melech Arod came and they attacked. Because when the Tzadikim are Nifter, Klal Yisrael is left defenseless. So now that Shaul has died, Klal Yisrael is at a difficult stage. So Lelamed B'nei Yehuda Koshas, Klal Yisrael has to be prepared to fight. It's going to be a difficult time. Because the Torah says when we don't have the Tzadikim, it's a difficult time for Klal Yisrael. Some learn because Yonasan and Shaul were expert archmen. In fact, we're going to see in the Kino that David says, Keshes Yehonasan lo nosog ochar. He mentions that when Yonasan shot with a bow and arrow, it wasn't turned back. He was always successful. So therefore, he mentioned, now that we don't have Yonasan, Klal Yisrael has to be mischazik. It could also be that what he was telling is that something that Yohanasan was so perfected in, and we'll see, in Divrei Yomim it mentions that there were archmen with Shaul, that this seemed to be their strong point, and yet Shaul was killed by the Anoshim Hamorim Bakeshes, the people who shot the arrows. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, on Daf Chof Hei, Amud Aleph, discusses this. And the Gemara says as follows. What is this Sefer HaYosher? Amar of Chia Barava, Amar of Yoichman, the Sefer Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov. It's the Sefer of Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov who are called Yesharim. As Bilam said, Tomos Navshi Mos Yesharim, Utsihi Achrisi Komohu. Bilam said, I would like to die the death of the Yesharim, like Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. And the Sefer HaYosher is the Sefer that talks about them, meaning Sefer Bereishis. The Netziv in his Sefer HaMikdavar asks the following question in his introduction. He asks, first of all, why is Bereishis called the Sefer HaYosher? Why is it called? It could have just said, Nixuva of the Sefer Bereishis. Why is it Sefer HaYosher? It's called the Sefer of the Straight. And out of all the titles that Bilam could have referred to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, he said, Tomos Navshi Mois, and he mentions Yesharim. those who are upright. Well, why does he mention out of all the adjectives he could have used to describe the avos, why does he mention yesharim? And the Netziv says that the term yoshar we find in Hazinu, when it talks about midas hadin, siduk hadin, it says hatzur tamim pa'aloi. Everything that a Kodesh Baruch Hu does is perfect. He holds a rach of mishpat. He's a kel emuna vein ovel tzadik v'yosharu. Hashem is upright. So whatever suffering, whatever happens, whether we understand or we don't understand it, you should know it's all done correctly, and Hashem has a cheshbon, and it's all with a perfect calculation. Hashem is yosher. And then it mentions shiches lo lo bonov mumom dor ikeshu fesaltol, that the generations was one that was crooked. That's referring to the bias, to the churban bias, bias sheni, the Netziv says. Where over there were tzaddikim, and there were chassidim, and there were people who were omel batayra, and they were, what they were missing was yashus. There was a sinas chinam, there was yashus he discusses as being upright, means a type of behavior that the world can exist in harmony, and that the world can be... Yashus means to be straight. It's the people who are crooked and with twisted calculations that are the ones who ruin, who destroy the world. So he says that even though in the Bayis Sheni there were people with all the milas, tzaddikim, chassidim, and the omelim b'tayra, but they were crooked. That everybody who looked on the other as if he was doing the wrong thing, and they hated the other, and they assumed that the other people were tzdukim and baisusim, if they didn't serve Hashem apikursim, if they didn't serve Hashem in the way that they did, they were lacking that yashrus. So the Torah says, tzadik v'yosharu. Hashem is a yoshar, even if the generation is crooked. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov excelled in this concept of yashrus, besides all the other milas they had, in terms of the betterment of the world, in terms of keeping the world going. Somebody like Avram was able to daven for Stoyim, even though they were Rishoyim, they were the worst people, but he davened that they should be saved, and hopefully they'll do tshuva. He davened for Stoyim. Yitzchak, who was given such a difficult time by Avimelech with stuffing up the wells, and Avimelech told him to leave, but then when Avimelech came to Yitzchak and he told him, we see Hashem is with you and let's make a treaty. Yitzchak made a treaty with him and was able to get along with Avimelech. And Yaakov, who had went through with Lavan, and then at the end, even though Lamaisa, Lavan had terribly wronged him, but Yaakov was able to speak to him and to deal with him. So Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were Yesharim. They were able to, besides their other milas, tzaddikim and chassidim, they were Yesharim. Somebody like Bilam would never dream tomos nafshi mois like chassidim or tzaddikim. Well, he has no connection with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They are the sheirish of Kedusha. They're the holiest. And Bilam is tumah. He's impurity. Bilam's not like them. But Bilam stepped back and he said, tomos nafshi mois yesharim. How is it that I can't even have that mitzvah of yashrus to keep the world going? In other words, even something like that, forget about the tzidkis and the chassidus, but yesharim, to be an upright person for the betterment of the world. And here, Bilam was willing to wipe out, he was ready and anxious to wipe out a whole nation. He was going to curse Klal Yisrael that they should all be destroyed. So his prayer was, tamos nafshi mos yesharim. He should die, the mis of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, he should have at least had that concept, that yashrus, to be an upright person.